This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you are here with Checkpoint Intimates, a weekly gaming show where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a weekly gaming topic.
Yes.
My name is Elliot, and I am joined by Luke.
You are. Hello. It's been a few weeks since I've done an Intimates, actually.
It's been far too long.
I do miss being intimate with you.
Yes. But we're going to dive deep into this intimate, whoa, I think.
Well, we did have the opportunity. Make up for lost time. Yeah, we got intimate in a different way a couple of weeks ago.
Did we? Oh, yes. Okay. Well,
we did Zed Town here in Melbourne, which is a real-life zombie game of tag, basically. Like an adventure experience.
Yeah, it's kind of like 400 zombies. Wow. 400 players. Eventually, yes. 400 zombies.
Well, that's the cool thing about it is, for those who don't know, so you basically meet up at this big allotted area in which, this time in Melbourne, it was the Showgrounds. I think Sydney's using the Showgrounds this year as well, but previously they've used like university campuses and stuff like that. And it's this designated zone, and there's like a zombie hub. So when the game starts, you're all survivors, except there's a few people that are like hidden secret zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So they're infected and they're told they're
the
infected.
OZs, I believe they were.
Yeah,
called.
OZs. Original but they're not allowed to say anything, but at some point during the game, they can just like tag you and be like, hey, I'm actually a zombie, and then tag you and you're a zombie too.
And that's how this epidemic of zombie infection spreads.
Yeah, and then from that point on, it becomes a game of tag where you have zombies wearing green headbands and some really cool zombie makeup. Mm-hmm. They had special effects people there doing makeup.
Yeah, massive props to Zed Town because they looked awesome.
Yeah, some of the wounds were quite impressive.
Good makeup work.
Yeah, really good. There was one girl in particular doing makeup, I believe, who has a serious like zombie special effects movie background.
Right.
Because I know with the VIP holders who paid for the extra money or got VIP or were media like us, we can go and see her, and she did like better makeup, like more in-depth makeup.
Yes.
Better wounds and more fleshy. And
I feel like if it was me who got tagged out early, though, I'd be like, the zombie makeup's cool, but I really want to start hunting down people ASAP.
Me too. Give me a scar, chuck some blood on me, like, let's go.
Yeah, just a bucket of blood.
Yeah, just cover me. And then, yeah, so once you're a zombie, then you go and tag people. So you become from a survivor, you become a zombie and try and touch people, unless you're shot with a Nerf gun. So if you're shot with a Nerf dart, then you have to go and respawn back at the zombie hub.
Yes.
And the game goes on for 4 hours or until there are no survivors remaining in the game. Which I think conceptually we were all pumped for this.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah, it's basically a real, like a video game come to life.
Yeah.
Essentially, because we've all played these zombie shooter games and this is like the real thing with 400 players. Like, that's awesome,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And so there were some things I was skeptical about going into it.
Yep.
Such as what sort of missions there would be, how much structure there would be, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, because it's not just a zombie tag, right? There are like NPCs handing out quests and there's like currency, yeah, and shops and stuff. So there's like, there's an extra layer of depth that I didn't even know was going to be included in this prior to going in.
Yeah, so you're communicating with actors, basically, who are there to help sort of, I guess, direct traffic.
Yeah.
And to help sort of steer you in certain directions and give you things to do and send you off on little missions and, oh, we have to go and catch this, or we have to go and do this and stuff like that. So that did give some sense of structure and some sense of, oh, there's missions we have to do as a group and, okay, my group's going to go and find this thing whilst other group's going to go and do this other mission instead. Yeah. So in that sense, it was good to have.
I think it was necessary as well because if you think about it, there's only a few zombies to start off the game, right?
Like literally four
if
or
everyone's
five.
If all the players are huddled together and they don't have things to do, the zombies have no chance.
Right.
But as soon as you have to go off and do quests and there's like faction wars and you have to like split off into little groups to achieve these little missions,
yeah,
the risk factor shoots through the roof.
Right. And there were some missions that literally had you interacting with one of the particular boss zombies, the witch.
Yes.
You had to try and capture her, and she was invincible as well, so you couldn't shoot her.
They were very threatening, those invincible zombies.
And she'd run at you screaming like a banshee, right? And so in those sort of situations, she was tagging people because you didn't really know what you were against until it happened and it was too late.
Yeah.
And there are other missions that led you straight past the zombie hub as well, requiring you to be right there where they were spawning from, which of course means it's easy for them to respawn and get you. Needless to say, the numbers dwindled quite quickly for the survivors. Before we knew it...
We did okay, though, surprisingly.
Well, the cool thing was the app on your phone also updated you with how many survivors were left.
Yes.
I think it got... It felt really real when it started to be like 100 zombies and 300 survivors. It was like, oh, that's a reasonable amount of zombies out there.
Because for a while in the early game, you'd walk around and not see really any zombies, maybe like one or two, and it was very non-threatening.
Yeah.
But I guess, obviously, that changes as people, like, find ways to...
Yeah. I mean, I remember being at the front of the zombie hub, and there were, like, three zombies and, like, two of us. And just, like, yeah, bring it on, like, shot them and, like,
killed
them. Yeah, because
you have the advantage of, as the, like, the survivors.
Yeah.
Unless they sneak up behind you, of
course. Totally. So, you know, I think the missions could have been tighter, a bit more clear in what to do. It seemed a bit strange how they worked.
I
would have liked a bit more understanding around, okay, head to this point to collect this. Like, if there was, like... some hidden shop or something, and even the shop they did have where you had to go and get vials from to try and get the cure, even then it was sort of unclear how you barter with them and what they required. And they were having fun with it, and it kind of made it feel fun and kind of improvised, but I would have liked it to be, oh, we need to get this particular item to get this vial, and you have to find the item by going over here on the map to then find hidden in like a chest or something, like something more video gamey to link it together.
I also think better communication between, at the very least, the faction leader and players, or like preferably all players, because for instance, you start the game and there might be 150 people in your faction and you all have the same quest, and all of a sudden everyone goes off in these different directions and you have no idea what the other players are achieving or if you're even being useful in what you're doing, because...
Correct.
Yeah, for instance, the vials, they had a phone app, right, for this whole game. Why not count down, like, every time a vial is retrieved so that you as a player know you're not wandering around aimlessly with all vials already recovered?
Sure, you know, there's so many games, like open world games now, where they have the map and you can see where quests are and where to go, and I just think it could have used something like that. Because I think the first hour and a half of the game... I essentially was wandering around with groups of people, but not really accomplishing a whole lot.
Yeah.
Not feeling like I was accomplishing a whole lot. And yeah, the zombie virus was spreading and that was kind of threatening, but there was no clear, like, I'm doing well or I'm winning or, like, you know, achievement unlocked. There was no, like, moment of clarity of, oh, I'm making progress in this game that we're playing.
I also feel like maybe the bigger issue for me was that progress was... it was not real progress, right? Like, it was these fetch quests and stuff that... ended up having no impact at the end of the game, and I think by design, they were never going to have impact.
Right. They were filler.
It was filler content.
Giving you stuff
to
do until the zombies
spread. I think filler content is better than no content.
Oh, yeah.
But I think maybe, like, a smarter design of the game would mean that if you are doing really well, all of a sudden your faction is more powerful or something, and you can take out zombies better in some kind of capacity.
Yeah, I just think there, some more thought around... making those quests relevant and making it work in a long-term thing. Because, I mean, and we're being negative about it, right?
And oh, definitely. It was a fun game.
I have to say, it was so much fun. Yes. Like, it was so fun. And it really picked up after the zombies started spreading. So I said about 100 zombies when it started feeling a bit kind of real. And that's when we started seeing people lose their lives in front of us, get tagged right in front of us for not checking their flank and seeing zombies creep up behind them. Now, I saw several people just... get got out of nowhere, seemingly.
Yeah.
Right in front of me, and me going, shit.
A bunch of times I had to, like, shout out to people, yo, there's a zombie running up behind you, because, you know, I wanted to dive into this experience as much as I could.
Yeah, and keep the survivors strong,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
I know the first time it felt really real was when we were lucky enough to have two lives each as VIP.
VIPs.
Thank God.
We needed them.
I mean, it would have made it even more stressful with just the one. Jeez. But, I mean, having two was still quite stressful. I remember seeing one of our squad mates, Drew, lose a life right in front of me. Like, it was like we were on the steps looking down and he was there. And there was a couple of zombies to his left. So he'd sort of gone around the corner with his gun and was shooting on those zombies. And out of nowhere, like, three other zombies came from behind this building and ran at him. And I literally shouted out, like, Drew! Like, I yelled, and it was too late because they just got him. right in front of me, lost a life. Yeah. And then me and I think I was with Paul at the time, the other squad mate that we had in our squad.
Yeah, I darted off a lot.
You darted off.
I was nowhere to be seen at
this point. So we sort of backed up and like ran back up the stairs and tried to get our positioning. But there were zombies all around us. We were just like, what do we do? Like, this is really stressful. And then we kind of made a run for it back to base. But yeah, you, especially in the early game, you immersed yourself more or made more of an effort to immerse yourself in this idea that we were like fighting the zombie apocalypse and trying to survive. You were off like having, doing other things.
Having two lives really made me take risks that I would never have taken because, I don't know, I just wanted to have fun with it. And I saw the early game people were just kind of moping around and walking around and not much was happening. So I'm like, you know, screw this. So like one of my first moves, for instance, we approached the blue faction as a small group. Knowing that they had vials for the cure. And I was just like, put my hands up in the air, handed my gun away, and just walked in there, like, saying, please don't shoot me. I come in peace. We want to make a trade. But I don't know if that was a smart move, but it kind of worked in the end for me.
It was good, though. I remember.
And it gave me, it meant I met some friends who later helped me in the game. So
sure. And I remember seeing you go in and being like, whoa. Yeah, it's dangerous. Like, yeah, it's dangerous. You know, like waiting. I hope he's okay. Are they going to capture him? Like, do you have to rescue Elliot now?
Imagine if I got captured and I was like a rescue mission for the rest of the group.
That would be kind of cool, though. Yeah. But annoying. I'd have been like, ugh, Elliot. Because I think for me, I definitely was taking it more of the tact of I want to survive for as long as possible with these lives. And to do that, I'm going to be super cautious because I do love zombie movies and zombie TV and zombie games. I've played and watched these my entire life. So I feel like I'm ready for an experience like Zed Town. I feel like I've seen so many people make stupid mistakes.
Are you like
mistakes.
One of these doomsday preppers? Like you have your bunker ready to go.
We have a zombie plan.
Beans.
We have a zombie plan.
Do you?
Yeah, we have a zombie plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask you about that later.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you because it ruins it. Everyone else will want to do it too. But no, I think that even though it's highly unlikely to happen, but it could. Like it absolutely could. A virus can make people sick and they could turn. Like who knows?
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen though.
It could. Well, it could. But I've watched these movies so many times and like I've seen characters like not check behind the door before walking into a room or like get distracted by looking for a loved one and then a zombie comes up behind them.
Don't have loved ones. Oh, it's easy.
It's baggage, isn't it? Yeah. Like it is. It's a distraction. It's a problem. And I think that I went into it with that in mind. I was like, no. I'm with my group, but I'm 100%. Cautious, scaling back, not running in first. I'm making sure that I stay alive as long as possible. And it worked. I lasted longer than you.
You definitely lasted longer than I did.
I remember looking up and seeing that you were dead and just standing there looking sad because you've been gotten like really recently. And I was like, oh no.
I was so disappointed.
Yeah, you looked disappointed. And at that point, our other mate, Drew, had already been taken in front of me again. He lost his second and third life and he was gone. So he was gone and then I watched you being gone. So it was me and Paul in our squad still alive. And Paul had lost a life already. So he had one life left and I still had two. And there was only about half an hour or so left in the game at this point. And this is when the story kicked in and, you know, there was an interaction between the witch and the doctor in front of us and then he turned and then they all ran at us. And I lost a life in that moment, unfortunately, but when I caught up with my group, it was funny to look at my phone at that point and see there was only like 80 survivors left and 320 zombies.
Yeah. That's threatening.
Wow. I was just, oh, wow. And there were two zombie hubs then at that stage on either side of the map.
Yep.
It just felt like we were really running out of time and running out of survivors, you know? I knew that people hadn't even changed their app to say zombies yet either. So what was happening was is people were still not changing their status on the app to be a zombie. So I knew there was probably only about 30 or 40 survivors actually left in the game at that point.
Well, you could probably see them all around you, right? Like, by the end of the game, all the survivors were huddled together, like in corners.
Yeah.
Yeah, and trying to defend as best as they could.
Which was great. And it was a feeling of adrenaline, you know, it was this moment, it just kept getting worse and worse, and we're like, oh no. And I was pretty happy because I did think, being an unfit person, and I say it sort of half jokingly, but like, I don't want people who aren't super fit and aren't good at running to be put off by experiences like this, and I don't want them to not go because
you can play smart.
You
and
can
safe.
Play smart and safe, like I did.
Yeah.
And I hate running. Like you'd ask anybody, I'm not good at it. But I survived until the final 25 people in the entire game out of 400. There was a girl in a wheelchair who lasted till at least the final 80 or so. Yeah. She was still alive all the way through, and she's in a wheelchair, like with actual disabilities. So I don't want people to think, oh, I get caught too quickly, or it's not for me because I'm overweight or because I'm a big person, or because I know there's a cross-section of people who are massive geeks like us who don't exercise much and don't do sport and stuff like that. And might
stereotyping,
be put off.
Luke.
It's true, though. I'm one of them, so I can say it.
You're okay to say it.
Yeah, it's true, though. And I just think that I don't want people to think, oh, it's not for me. It's definitely, if you're smart about it and you have good tactics, you can make it to the end.
Yeah, and there's so many different approaches to that game that you can stick with big groups and stick at your hub and just make, like, only move from map to map, like, walking with giant groups, because that's what kind of happened a lot of the time. Because, yeah, you can sprint for it and be an idiot like I did and be reckless, but a lot of the times the survivors were these people who moved in massive groups slowly and meticulously, ensuring that there were no zombies around each corner kind of thing.
Yeah, and that was definitely my approach. I did break up a couple of times, thinking, oh, two lives, let's have some fun and walk around a bit with just the three of us, four of us, but for the most part, I stayed where there was the most survivors, kept away from the zombies. When I saw a horde in the distance, I didn't approach it. I went the other direction, went back to the group. I was like, no, I'm going back to base because I'm not going to die there.
Yeah.
So look, I know there's room for improvement in this game, 100%. They've done it for a couple of years now, and they'll keep doing it and keep refining it, I hope. Overall, though, as a concept and as a day, I mean, it's a four-hour experience. Far out, it was fun.
It was really fun. I really hope they are able to continue to improve the experience and make it better and better. But as a baseline, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait to do it next year.
Yeah, and I've done other zombie experiences with, like, laser tag and stuff before as well, which have been fun too. And I just think that making it sort of the fact that you, when you get tagged by the zombie, you're not out of the game. You become a zombie. And that's really clever. It keeps you engaged for the entire 4 hours. Yeah, there's no end point before that, really. In a way, I sort of a bit sad I didn't become a zombie earlier. So I could have seen the other side of it. Because they were coordinating hordes. They were coordinating attacks and stuff as zombies as well. I would have liked to be a part of that.
You know what I think is really unfortunate? And just part of the game's design that I don't think can change. I think the most fun would be to be a zombie at the start.
Right.
And I think the most fun would be to be a survivor at the end. But correct, it works the other way. You start the game as a survivor and end the game as a zombie.
Right.
I think the most fun would be the opposite somehow.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess I'm lucky and thankful that I am grateful I survived until the end of this game.
Yeah, so you got to experience that part.
I got to experience all the way to the end and had some really cool action movie moments that I remember really fondly that happened.
Oh, yeah. I definitely had some action movie moments.
Yeah. So I did that. And I think almost next time, I'd almost like to go, hey, can I be a zombie? Or just get tagged early. Like, just honestly just go near the hub and go, oh, no, I got tagged. Be a zombie.
Woe is me.
One of the first 10, and then just have fun with that as well.
Yeah, because if you're one of the first ones, yeah, definitely go get your makeup. Go do everything right, and then just have some fun with it.
Live the zombie experience. So, big thank you to the guys from Zedtown for allowing us to be survivors in their world. We'll definitely be back, and we can't recommend it enough for people that are interested in doing a really fun adventure with your friends. Oh, go with friends. Go with a squad. Get together a group. That definitely helps as well.
Or meet people there.
Yeah, and we did
too. If you're
too
really good at that.
And we did meet some people that we sort of ended up grouping with. But I think going with an established group of friends just makes it that little bit safer at the start, you know, because you've got someone that you know has your back and probably isn't going to be an OZ, a secret zombie.
Probably not.
So this has been another episode of Intimates here for Checkpoint, a zombie undead intimate.
Yes, that's my favourite kind of internet.
Well, there's a name for people like you. Yeah. I'm not going to do it. This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.